for us all assembled here this evening, something which we all share in common is the experience of disappointments in life. You and I, over a period of time, have our various disappointments. And they've come to wound us and hurt us very deeply. They can come to us with great ferocity, resulting in much heartbreak and grief. The Oxford Dictionary defines disappointment as being that of not fulfilling a desire, of not fulfilling an expectation. To experience frustration of not achieving something which we greatly long for or thought would have done us good. This is what results in our experience of disappointment. It comes to wound us and to cause us great hurt. As I already said to you, this is common to us all. Disappointments do come. Disappointments come our way because the world itself is disappointing. The world cannot give to us what we thought it promised. We ourselves are disappointing. We can disappoint other people. We get other people down. At a time of disappointment, we can feel that the world is crushing around us, that life has become pointless and empty. But this evening, we're going to learn an important lesson. As you and I experience disappointments in life, we learn this lesson, a very important one indeed. Man's disappointments are God's appointments. Man's disappointments are God's appointments. And I trust these words are appropriate to us all in our various situations of life, and very especially appropriate for our younger people, church this evening. Because young people very especially can know what it's like in their lives to experience times of disappointment. And things just don't work out for them in which they originally thought of or planned for. But I trust today that Christ will see here this evening that man's disappointments are truly God's appointments, as God has something far better planned for us. In our various situations in life, our Lord, our sovereign Lord, is working all things correctly for ourselves. So as God's children, as God's moving people this evening, we must appreciate that so often the apparent disappointments of life will turn out ultimately for eternal and spiritual good. I repeat that. The apparent disappointments of life will turn out ultimately for eternal and spiritual good. The psalmist David here in Psalm 18 expressed that same theme, that thought to us time after time in those verses we read to you. Let's look again at verse 32 of Psalm 18. The psalmist could say, "It is God who armed me with strength. It's God who makes my way perfect." And these words came from the lips of a man who knew what it was like to experience disappointments in his own life. Many enemies rose up against him. David wrote Psalm 18 because of the influence of King Saul. Saul, who had no sympathy for David or no love for David, did all he could to thwart David's efforts in the service of the Lord. David also had many enemies, surrounding nations, rose up against the Jews that particular time. But David, with God's help, was able to stand firm and true for his master. But many a time David had disappointments in life. His own family, for example, disappointed him. Disappointments of all sorts came across his pathway in life. Yet in all, David could still say, "It's God who armed me with strength. It's God who makes my way perfect." And friends, you and me this evening, when we can understand and appreciate that it's God who makes all our ways perfect, then this goes a long way for each one of us here to appreciate the help God offers to us in our times of disappointment or despondency. So my address then this evening is entitled "Coping with Disappointment." Coping with Disappointment. First of all, we see here disappointment explained. Disappointment explained. This word, and this explains, hardly needs for explanation. Because once we have known disappointment in our own lives, this is something we should never forget. It burns into our very being like a hot searing rod. Burns into our hearts and leaves deep scars. The very young person, can feel disappointed when they don't receive the gift which they expected. The student can be disappointed when you don't get the required mark, pass mark in examination. Those looking for employment can be disappointed when they cannot find or are not offered employment. Those who find work hard can be disappointed whenever their employment turns out unsatisfactory or when someone else or something else lets them down. Friends, I won't take any further explanation on my part to explain disappointment to you this evening. We've all been there. We know what it's all about. But we learn this evening that even disappointments are part of God's plan for our lives. And in our disappointments, God is testing us and testing us severely as he tries us. Tries us to encourage us to remain constant and true to himself. What is more, whenever you and I see our disappointments in the overall context of God's perfect plan and purposes for our lives, then in turn our heartbreaking experiences can be transformed into peaceful joy. Returning again to Psalm 18, this time the 30th verse of Psalm 18, the psalmist David goes on to say there in those words, "As for God, his way is perfect." God's way is perfect. Now, friends, you and I know it's not easy accepting those words when we find ourselves in the middle of a disappointment. When some horrendous disappointment has crossed our pathway in life, be that in employment, be that in family life, be that whatever it is. Whenever we experience those things, those times in life, it's so unbearable, it's hard to bear. But we remind ourselves that God's way is perfect. In the hardship we're experiencing, God the Lord is still there and he's still overruling for our good. Disappointment explained. But then secondly, disappointment experienced. Disappointment experienced. As I already said to you, we all experience this in life. There's no one here this evening who's not had at least one, if not many more, disappointments in their lifetime. But we will now take examples from the lives of other people to help strengthen ourselves in the face of this experience. These examples that I give to you now are taken from Scripture and from life itself. Let's turn, first of all, then, to Scripture. One of the Bible's most endearing features is that it faces up to reality. Scripture presents to us the truth, warts and all. And so we see in Scripture a godly man called Nehemiah. Nehemiah was the cupbearer for King Artaxerxes of Persia. Being a cupbearer meant he tasted the food, lest the king should be assassinated or done to death by eating food which is not good for him, poisonous food. That was Nehemiah's task in life. That he fulfilled very well. But later on, he requested of Artaxerxes that for a period of time he returned to Judah, his homeland, to observe how things were going on in Judah, how the people were reacting to God's ways, how the people were doing. And when Nehemiah returned to the land of Israel, what disappointment he experienced. This man of God, who had served God so faithfully, was now back in his homeland. And all he discovered was disappointments right left and center. He now found all the old sins of Israel were back. They had forsaken God, broken his commandments. God's covenant people recommenced breaking the Sabbath day. The Jewish men were marrying pagan wives. God's priests and people were not looking after the temple. Everything had been dealt with, the covenant renewal in the past had now fallen by the wayside. Something had gone drastically wrong. The people once again had turned their backs upon God and failed to live up to God's standards and God's ways. Failed to live in the way which was important as far as Nehemiah was concerned. And how that man of God must have been disappointed. Very disappointed. To see God's ways and God's word cast to the side. To see now people who should have known better. Living lives and doing his visions to his will and way. There's no fairy tale ending for Nehemiah. Rather, it all ends in disappointment. It seems to be a depressing letdown. Nehemiah must have felt very hurt at this particular time. The people have turned their backs upon him, upon God. They've gone their own ways. Yet through it all, the godly Nehemiah, although disappointed, although downhearted, remained constant and true and faithful to his God. He continued to depend upon God to help and to strengthen. And so Nehemiah moved forward day by day with his God, looking to him, depending upon him. Yes, he looked around him, he saw the people far away from God. But God gave to Nehemiah that spirit of resilience to stand firm and true for him, to remain faithful in the face of such opposition and godlessness. And so it is for ourselves, friends. When we look around us these days and we see godlessness abounding, whenever you and I can feel understandably disappointed in so many areas of life, you yourselves know your own personal situations, your disappointments. Do you experience your disappointments in life? Rest assured that God is still there for you. He's still willing for good for you. For your perfect purposes in life. That is true today also for godly ministers. I wonder if you ever thought of this. Think of godly ministers who have served the Lord faithfully over the years. They never fail to present God's truth week by week. After a period of time, they've seen perhaps those congregations that once labored and worked in, now wandering away from God's truth, wandering away from the scriptures, even wandering away from attendance at God's house morning and especially in the evening. Can you appreciate just how godly ministers feel vexed and hurt by it all? For them, disappointments come. I would say this day and age which we're living, if a man, a minister, is truly a godly man, that godly man is bound to experience those disappointments continually as he looks around him and sees his people wandering away from God and from God's truth. But Nehemiah remained constant and faithful and true. Through many tribulations he experienced, he still proved God to be his strength. But then we go to the New Testament for an example. We turn now to the Apostle Paul. Paul tells us in Acts chapter 14 and verse 22 that he was at Lystra. And there we're told that in Lystra, where there was much opposition, that Paul did not lose heart. Paul did not lose heart. How come? Because we're told in that city, God was abounded. How could Paul still remain true and bright to the Lord in such a situation? How is this possible? Well, we're told that Paul recognized his work, his ministry was at the mercy of God, at the call of God. He acknowledged that God was in it, that God had called him, and what God had called him to do and encouraged him to do, that God was there for him along the way to strengthen, to support, and to encourage. Paul also became realistic, because according to 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16, he also knew that his body was wasting away. He was getting older and slower in the service of the Lord. But he also knew that his inner self was being weakened. He himself becomes stronger in the Lord and stronger in his service for him. Paul remained constant and true in the life he lived. And so, friends, how can we learn from this apostle this evening? How can we learn from him? To the world, being aged, getting older, can be seen as a nuisance and not a pleasant experience. But for Paul, here in Corinthians, the fact that he was getting older was not for him a disappointment. Rather, for Paul, it meant that God was working longer in his life in order to make him all the more perfect, in order to give him more time for service for his master. Sometimes God uses the very simple human means to encourage his people. And so here we see God encouraging the Apostle Paul this time. He recognized, for it all, for himself in particular, that time was marching on. But he was still true to his master. Friends, disappointments come our way. Paul disappointments. Paul remained true to his Lord and to his God. Examples from Scripture. Ben, let's take an example from life itself. Let me tell you the following true story. In the year 1812, the great Baptist missionary and linguist William Carey, this stage been in India serving the Lord for some 19 years. 19 years, a missionary. Carey had to wait for 7.5 years before he saw the first Indian convert, the first man turning from Hinduism to Christianity. Imagine that, friends. There for 19 years and 7.5 years before the first convert. You and I could have said, well, Carey could have been up long ago, back to England, for all about England, for all of India. Not so. He persevered on. At this particular time then, the work seemed to be blessed and going forward. But shortly after that, disaster struck. A fire broke out in the missionary compound, destroying the printing house, the presses, the paper, book, manuscripts, and ink. All was destroyed. All went up in smoke, and all was lost. Now, for William Carey, you and I would have said this evening, well, surely that man would have been so despondent and so disappointed, he said to himself, well, that's all over. I can do no more. It's been so hard for me. I'm forgetting this work altogether. But that was not Carey's response. His immediate response was that of returning to his work, doing translating work with the Word of God in the local native tongue. This fire was not going to put him off. And Carey continued to work faithfully for his Lord, for his God. Naturally, William Carey was devastated. And for him, the temptation was that of being angry with God, being so disappointed as he helped the work altogether. But he did not do that. With God's help, he picked himself up and kept on going, serving the Lord, in Bible translation work, the sake of the people. He saw a purpose in what had taken place, and his appointment was turned into joy. There he was to say, "The Lord has laid me low." Now he looked more simply to him. Kerry triumphed in his appointments. For ourselves, friends, for ourselves, coping with disappointment can be a great trial in life. It can be a great burden, a great hardship for us. But with God assisting us, we can overcome the barriers and prove our Lord afresh in our lives. William Bridges, a godly Puritan, on one occasion said, "Depression, disappointment, is a heavy bag given to the people of God. And even though it may seem heavy to carry, within that bag there is gold to be found." And friends, that's a lovely picture, a word picture for us this evening. In our disappointments, in the heavy burden of our disappointments, there is still gold to be found. As you and I search and find God still at work and miss our disappointments, God's still there to help us and to encourage us in the way. So then, for ourselves this evening, from these examples of Nehemiah and Paul and William Carey, we can see here how God was at work, how God gave them the strength to move forward and do so confidently. We should always console ourselves with the knowledge that Almighty God is in control of every detail of our lives. Nothing just happens without a purpose. Behind everything is the hand of God at work and doing all things well for us as believing people. While we don't always see that at the time, later on we can see quite clearly the hand of God at work. And so I say again to our young people in church this evening, if you have experienced disappointment in the past and probably experienced disappointment into the future, be assured that through such times that God is drawing nearer to you, God's reminding you of himself, and God's encouraging you to look more and more to him. And when you can appreciate this fact, then you can rest content knowing your sovereign God is doing all things well for you. I know no other way of coping with disappointment than that way. I already quoted this evening from Nehemiah. Now in conclusion, let me again quote from Nehemiah tonight. Nehemiah 8 and verse 10 is so relevant at this stage in our sermon. Then Nehemiah said, "Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so it is, friends. If there is this evening you're passing through a time of disappointment, may you find joy in your Lord. May you find the Lord to be your strength. When you're feeling downhearted and troubled and anxious, joy in him. Joy in all the Lord means to you in your life, and find that strength he's willing to give to us as children. A God who does all things correctly and all things well. I conclude by quoting the following words to the congregation this evening. Bearing in mind we're thinking here of disappointment, these words may have helped to us all. "Not till the loom is silent and the shuttles cease to fly will God unroll the canvas and explain the reason why. The dark threads are as needful to the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned." And so for us all this evening, young and old alike, which one of us here tonight, the dark threads of disappointment do weave themselves into our lives? But in it all and through it all, and ultimately, the gold and silver threads are also there. And God is showing to us his hand upon us. And God is still doing all things well in our lives. Be reassured, friends, by that knowledge this evening of a great God doing great things for ourselves. Amen.